Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. Give it up for the man, Tony Barnes. He's still in my phone as Tony the Man, all right? Back when we did youth ministry together. Pretty awesome. What a great man of God. How's everybody doing today? Good, good. What a wonderful week it's been, amen? Do you have something to be thankful for today? All right, if you don't, take 5 seconds, 10 seconds, think of something that you're thankful for today. Gratitude is so important when we come into the house of the Lord, amen? To thank God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do, amen? Man, he's good. Well, today, the topic that I want to speak on today is urgency. Urgency. I think that probably the opposite of urgency is procrastination, right? Procrastination is what? It's the action of delaying or postponing something. Anybody ever procrastinated some before? Three people. Y'all are liars. Not Deb, sorry. Yeah. You were Pastor Jim said, no, we were just waiting. Yeah. It's good stuff right there. Procrastinator. So like when we were in high school, you know, when you were elementary, we all procrastinated, all right? We were all guilty at some point of procrastinating in some sort of way. We were supposed to do homework, study for a test, and you would wait longer than you should have. Some of us way longer than we should have, right? And, you know, if you're in high school, cover your ears what I'm about to say. But that, you know, in the long scheme of things, wasn't that big of a deal. But now, somebody's going to go home and be like, this guy told me that it was not that big of a deal. Don't say that, all right? But now, you know, you get a job and you procrastinate at your job, you could lose your job, right? Or create problems for other people, which can cause some issues. Right, you could if you procrastinate in your marriage, yikes, right? Maybe there's an issue or a situation that you need to address, and you procrastinate addressing it. It does not go away. I have a 3-year-old daughter, Rosabella. She's a sweetheart, and some of you might be shocked to hear this, but she is disobedient sometimes, okay? What? I know. She's an angel. According to my parents and Charity's parents, she could do no wrong, all right? Right? But she doesn't, and as parents, we have to discipline her, all right? We have to teach her the right thing to do. And how crazy it would be if today she disobeyed, and I thought to myself, cool, I'm going to address that in a week. And next Sunday, I sit her down, and I say, hey, I'm going to discipline you right now, and it's because of something you did a week ago. You think her three-year-old little mind would even comprehend what was happening? She'd be like, what are you? She would be so confused with what was going on. You know, when we discipline and we help our daughter, we have to be urgent about it. Otherwise, she's not going to figure it out. But by being urgent, it helps create discipline in her life. All right? Does that make sense? You know, if a house was on fire and my child was in there, I would run after my child. There would be, I wouldn't have to have a session with the firefighters to figure out how safe it was. I could care less. I would run into that house after my child. If somebody was like, hey, I don't know if it's safe, you might die, I could care less. I'm going to run to that house. If somebody said, I don't know if you should go in there, all right? Last I saw, it's really on fire. I'd be like, shut up, get away from me, and I'm going in, all right? Why? Because there's urgency involved. If I don't go in there, who else is going to go in there? If I don't go save my kid, who else is going to do it? Does that make sense? There's urgency. We've all heard, I've never cooked frogs, so I don't know if this is real, but from what I've heard, If you put a frog into boiling water, they jump out, okay? But if you put a frog in room temperature water and turn on the burner and slowly bring the water to a boil, you can cook them. Why is that? Urgency. Urgency. When you put a frog in boiling water, they're like, it burns. Put them in that nice, comfortable water. They're like, ooh, this is comfortable. I'm good. Kind of warms up a little bit. It's like a hot tub. Feels good. And they don't realize what's happening, right? Because there's no urgency. Urgency. So one of the main questions today is, what in your life needs some attention and needs some urgency? That's the first question today. What needs some urgency in your life right now? Not something that you can address in a few days, few weeks, few months, few years, a few decades. What needs to be addressed? What do you need to have a sense of urgency in your own life? And then the next question we're going to look at today is, as Christians, what do we need to have urgency in? And I believe that the first question, there's already some things popping up here in your head. And let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you in that today, all right? Pay attention to it. Write it down. And I believe as we go through, as Christians, what we need to be urgent as, I believe a lot of those questions will be answered for you today, all right? And if you don't get the answer, guess what? Got the cheat book right here. Got all the answers, all right? You got the Holy Spirit. Secret sauce. Everyone loves secret sauce. You got the Holy Spirit. You can go. Amen. So let's pray today. Would you join with me? Let's open up our hearts to Him today. Lord, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is in this room. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place. We thank You for Your word and Your truth today. And we acknowledge today that Your truth is above all else. We bow to that today. We say, have Your way today. If you need to change some stuff, if you need to rearrange some stuff, do it today. We thank You, God. We give You the glory. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. The first thing as Christians we need to be urgent on is love. Love. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you've ever heard me speak or if you talk to me a lot, this is my favorite verse of the Bible. All right. Favorite. Why? Because love is so important. It's so important that Jesus said, when somebody came and said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your mind, everything you have, love the Lord your God. And then what does He say after that? And the second is also. And He says, what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So is love important? Yeah. Should we have a sense of urgency when it comes to loving? Yes. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. Because what is that? That guy's coming to him is like, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment, which is Jesus is commanding it. You have to be obedient. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're going to call yourself a Christ follower, obedience is necessary, all right? And I love 1 Corinthians 13 because it outlines for us what perfect love is. It also outlines for us the priority that love should be in our life, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Wow. Paul is not mixing words here. Okay? This is a very black and white statement that's going on right now. All right? There's no gray areas. It's very, this is it. Okay? You can be the smartest person ever. Be the wisest person that ever lived on earth. You have the most beautiful voice. Prettiest voice. But if you don't have love, you ever heard a little kid play one of those recorders? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, that you could lose your salvation off that moment. You know what I'm talking about? Rip that recorder out of some kid's hand and break it right in front of him. Like, don't ever. Love. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about love. But you ever heard something that just really annoyed you, like a sound that you're like, you can have the most beautiful voice, prettiest voice, but if you don't have love, it's a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong. That's annoying. It's disruptive in the worst possible way. You ever been sleeping? You know, you're sleeping, it's just cozy in bed, and your alarm clock goes off, and you lose your mind. You throw it across the room, or all 20 of them that you have set because you have such a hard time getting up. Yeah, I want you to get that picture in your mind, all right? You could be eloquent in words. You could have the best things to say. You could have the right thing to say, but if it's not in love, you get a lot of that today, right? You could have faith greater than anyone that has ever walked on earth. You could sacrifice more than anyone. But if you don't have love, it says, you are nothing and you gain nothing. That's powerful. So love. You can get mad at Paul if you want. Don't get mad at me, all right? I'm just reading the Bible, all right? Love is important. So what is love? What is perfect love? And I love it. Paul, like, gives us, hey, if you're wondering how to do it, here it is. I love the Bible. We have a question? There's always an answer. Amen? Verse 4, it says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Man, I love that. This is perfect love. This is the way that Jesus perfectly loves us. And this is us, what we need to strive for as well. Think about some of the biggest hot-button topics in today's culture, in today's world. You think this would help out? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I think about a lot of the hot-button topics, and I think about how this would change everything. We talk about things like abortion, for instance. This would change everything. If we loved women that had an abortion, or considering an abortion, or thinking that's the only way that they'd feel backed into a corner, that's the only, and we showed them this kind of love, you think it would change something? Yeah, it would. It would. Love. And you might be even saying today, well, yeah, but like, how, I mean, we're just so far past that, Brandon. Yeah, could we bring it back though? Could we change it? Yeah, we could. Why? Because it's the love of God working through us. You and I, we cannot be perfect, okay? It's impossible. We've all proved that time and time again. But what we can know is God is perfect and his Holy Spirit working in and through us, all right? And when we align with him, something amazing begins to happen. Something amazing begins to happen. How cool would it be if people, when they're going through, you know, we talk about like abortion, we talk about the LGBTQ community, all those kinds of things. What would happen if people, when they're dealing with identity, when they're dealing with fear, when they're dealing with pain, when they're dealing with all of these things, the first person they thought of was the first Christian on their list? Why? Because Christians love. What would happen if that was the stereotype? That make sense? Love. That person is going to love me no matter what. They might not say something that I like to hear, but they will love me. They might not say something that I necessarily agree with, but they will love me. They might tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, but they will love me. They will love me. Love. 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 Let's look at our next thing. As Christians, we need to be urgent in. And number two is division today. Now, I'm going to preface this right now and explain that this section may not be going maybe exactly where you're expecting, but bear with me. Everybody cool with that? Bear with me. I'm going somewhere today. See, it's important to understand this. Division will happen when you take a stand for something. It's going to happen. Division is going to happen when you take a stand for something. It's important to understand that. But as Christians, it is our job to recognize and identify where that opposition truly comes from. Okay? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse 10 through 12. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." If me and Mr. Tony disagree on something, which is bound to happen at some point in our life, if we have a friendship, a relationship, and we are trying to grow together, guess what? There's going to be moments that he and I disagree. But that disagreement, all right, even if it's something that goes against the word of God, or if I do something that goes against the word of God, our battle is not with each other. It is with a very real enemy. It is with a very real enemy. The enemy is the one that created division to begin with, sin on this earth. Does that make sense? So it's important to understand, when you take a stand as a Christian, you instantly pick a side, God's side, and you turn your back on sin. And that is a dividing line. But it's easy to forget where your battle truly lies, because we have feelings. We have emotion, right? Anybody ever get your feelings hurt? Yeah. No? Come on now, all right? We've all gotten our feelings hurt. Somebody says something like, "Hey, guy, that hurt my feelings." And some of those feelings, they're valid because they do something that is wrong. But as Christians, it's important to rise above that opposition and understand this, that our fight is with the enemy. And then we cue into that love thing, right? We need to love them, pray for them, believe for them. We start to say things like, "God, help me see things the way they're seen, okay? Help me put myself in their shoes for a minute. Help me have grace, forgiveness in my heart." That's hard to do. It's possible. Let's look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says, Romans 16, verse 17, we'll go through 18. It says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Now, this is specifically talking about in the church, all right? In the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, there should not be division. In fact, we are supposed to do everything in our power to make sure division does not exist. 1 Corinthians 1, go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, Paul, he's like, hey. He's like, Paul does these like psh, 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 kind of moments, you know? It's like, get a hold of yourself. What are you doing? I love that. He's always about that. Man, I don't know if I could handle sitting in a room with Paul for too long. Like, oh. But anyway, in our life, we have to understand, as Christians, among our brothers and sisters, we got to strive for no division. And how do you do that? You point to the one that brings the truth. Okay? So there are opinions and there is truth. Careful what you live and die by. I'm going to strive for truth, for the word of God and what God says. There are certain opinions that I may have, but some opinions don't really matter when we're talking about truth. Now, is that hard to stomach? Yeah. Why? Because we were created with a mind. And our mind's pretty extraordinary. Yes. And we have thoughts and things that happen, and we're like, man, that's a pretty good idea. Did I come up with that? Yeah, I guess I did. Wow. Awesome. You know what? I'm going to go on Facebook. All right. Send, bam, awesome. What an idea. And then somebody says, hey, I disagree with you. You're like, whoa. How dare you say that my idea was bad? It came from God. Now, some things do come from God, all right? His truths, all right? His word. But we have to be careful. We have to be very careful when it comes to our opinions versus truth. Does that make sense today? Awesome. So here we go. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're talking about division. We understand that in the church, the body of Christ, we have to make sure we're not creating division, right? And here's Jesus, Luke chapter 12, verse 49. He says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter. It will create division. But it's important to understand it's the power of the gospel that should be doing that, not us. Now, please stick with me for a minute. You can say something that is true, but if you don't say it in love, it can instantly create problems. You can say something that's true and you can say it in love, and it will not always be received. And there will be sometimes those dividing lines. And if you don't do things in love, what happens is you begin to fall off script of what the gospel truly is. Does that make sense? I want you to hear that today because the gospel is powerful. It's amazing. The gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power in it. But when we don't do it in love, we're going off script. The gospel is full of love. It's full of so many things. And one of its pillars is love. We can't go off script. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you make it all lollipops and popsicles. Okay? You don't have to water down the gospel. Amen? You do have to do it in love, but you don't have to water it down. Amen? Okay? You got to examine your heart, your intentions when you speak. Let the Holy Spirit manifest your words. Amen? See, the power of the gospel, the power, what is part of the power? It's the power to bring conviction to men's hearts. Do you hear that today? Conviction demands a response. The gospel demands a response. That is the power of it. And it's important to understand that. And what does that mean? That when you take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, you are picking a side. And you're turning your back on sin. You're choosing life and walking away from death. Amen? I'll give you an example in Matthew chapter 19. A young rich man comes to Jesus. And he says, what must I do to have eternal life? And what does Jesus say? He says, go sell all your possessions. And the man leaves sad. Could the man have stayed with Jesus? Yes. Did the man choose to stay with Jesus? Not in that moment. Not in that moment. Why? Catch this. Because Jesus identified right in that moment the thing that was getting between him and God. And it was conviction. Said, hey, if you want this, all right, your love of money is getting in the way of your relationship with our Heavenly Father. So you have two choices to make. You can sell your possessions and come follow me, or you can keep them. Now, was it money that was the problem? No, it was the love of money. We know that. Scripture talks about that. But it's the one thing that was in between him and God. And Jesus, in that moment, gives the man an option. We all have free will. We have a choice. And right in that moment, why does the man go away sad? He chose the other way. There was a dividing line. He's like, I can't do it. And he walks away. That's going to happen in our lives. We're going to choose God. There will be division. Okay? Do not run from that side of it. Okay? Do it in love. Follow truth. Make sure truth and God's word are coming out of your mouth. But understand this. There is a really, very real battle that's happening right now. And we as Christians, we have to stand up and be willing to take on the full armor of God. And we cannot be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's talk about that. Third thing we need to be urgent on, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. What is the gospel? It's Jesus. It's his love. for a people that turned their back on him. And even as their back was turned, he took on the very punishment that they were supposed to receive. Died on a cross that was meant for us. Ripped through hell. Defeated death. Rose again. And because of that, we have access to our Heavenly Father. That is the gospel. And it is so important that we share that gospel. What he has done for you and I. We all have messed up. Every one of us. Every one of us have a past. We all do. You can either dwell on that or you can look forward to what God is going to continue to do in your life, his promises and what that means. And you can share those things with others. And so one of the greatest ways of sharing the gospel is sharing your testimony. Sharing your story. And your testimony is simply, before God, what was your life like? What happened when you met Jesus? Tell us about that moment. And then tell us how your life has changed because of God. That's your testimony. And everyone's testimony, praise the Lord, is different in this room. Isn't that cool? We all have a different story. Isn't that cool? I think that's amazing. We all have an identity that is specific to each of us. And a story that is specific. And I want everyone to hear this. This is so important. We're going to look up here for just a minute. There are people right now that are yearning for your story. It is not just kind of need it. They are literally yearning to hear your story. Yearning. They're broken. They don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. They feel misplaced. They feel like everything that they do just doesn't quite bring the fulfillment that they want. And it's your story that can literally change everything for them. Not my story. Your story. Not the person's next to you. Not their story. Your story. See, when we talk about urgency, it means that you have a responsibility. You and I. We all have a responsibility. And that doesn't always feel good because that means you got to do something, all right? It means that you have to step out of your comfort zone. It means that you have to step out and do something you're not used to maybe doing or saying something that you're not used to saying. But how important is God to you? What has Jesus done for your life? Don't people deserve that? Pastor Mercedes was preaching an amazing message on Esther last week. If you missed it, you got to listen to it. And Esther, in chapter 5, she goes into the court to King Xerxes, or the outer court. And it's in that moment she's going to live or die. She walks into the court, and if King Xerxes, you know, points his spear at her, she can come in. Or he can say, kill her. What is she doing? And so you can read about it. All right. If you're like, I don't know what he's talking about, you should read about it. It's an amazing story. But Queen Esther comes in, and what does King Xerxes say to her? Queen Esther, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom, I will give to you. And what does she do? She chooses to serve the people of Israel, to be obedient to God. What could have she done in that moment? She could have chosen self-preservation. Am I wrong? I mean, King Xerxes said, you can have whatever you want, up to half my kingdom. Do you think it would have been easy for her to say, you know, awesome. Okay, I just have one thing. All right, this one dude, Haman, whatever. All right, he's gonna kill all of Israel. I'm actually a Jew. Just don't kill me. Do you think King Xerxes would have been like, okay, yeah, I think so. That's really not that big of a deal. And he gets to keep his queen that is hot. So he's like, sweet, cool. I'm glad you told me now so I can make that amendum, right? It wouldn't have been that hard for him. Like, that would have been the easiest thing to do. But what does she do? She chooses the hardest thing imaginable. And she chooses all of these other people over her own. What does Haman do? Mordecai, right? I mean, you can, again, read the story if you're like, what is he talking about? But the king has a dream about Mordecai. Pretty much Mordecai, the king's like, he's dreaming, he can't sleep. He wakes up, he's reading his book, and he reads about Mordecai and what Mordecai doing. He's like, this dude's a boss. We need to, did we reward him? And they're like, no, we didn't reward him. He's like, okay, we got to reward him. And he brings Haman in and says, Haman, tell me what I should do for this guy Mordecai. And Haman thinks the king is asking what to do for him. And what does Haman do? He instantly goes into self-preservation. What can I get out of this? What can I do to get? What can I get out of this? I mean, talk about a pretty amazing picture of opposite spectrums. And what does it get Esther? Freedom. What does it get Haman? Death. I'm going to step on all of our toes. I'm talking about me too, all right? But when we bow to our fear, when we decide not to open our mouth when the Holy Spirit says it, we are choosing self-preservation. That's hard, but it's real. People need to hear the gospel. It will free people. It will change your life. It will do things that you cannot do on your own, only God can do. And when we choose to just hold that gift, it's like going before the king, and he's saying, whatever you want. And we're like, you know what? Thanks. I'm just going to keep this gift for myself. I just want salvation for me, and I'll talk to you later. But when we open up our mouth, we share the gospel, and we don't freak out about it, that it has to be perfect, and we overthink it, that like, man, I just hope I get it right, and we don't do all those things, and we just say, hey, how's your day? And they're like, it's been better. Tell me about it. And they're like, this is weird. Like, yeah, well, tell me about it. It's just been, work's been crazy. Oh, man, I'm sorry. What do you do for work? Ask them about it. Ask them to tell it. Take a genuine interest in what's going on in their life. You think Jesus would have done that? Yeah, he did it all the time. What did Jesus always took a genuine interest in what was the root of the problem. So beautiful. Always. Even when people came to him and they needed healing, he said, you're saved. Woo! Why? Because people come to Jesus broken and they identify their brokenness for other reasons. And Jesus says, no. I will fix it all right now in salvation. Boom. Changes everything. The gospel is powerful. And if you're like, I don't know what that, if I should or what, you should. You should. Always. It is always the right time to share the gospel. It is always the right time. It's always the right time to show people God's love. Encourage people. Hey, you got a great smile. That's a great thing. You can start out with that. Call them by their name. People love to be recognized. Spend some time with them. Slow your day down for a minute. What's 5 minutes in the grand scheme of things for you? What's 5 minutes for them? Think about that for a minute. What do you do for them? You changed their life forever. Do you and I on our own have the power to do that? Absolutely not. No way. No way. Just think about what that is in our hands and what it can mean to somebody. We're going to close this down really quick here. Number four, sense of urgency, being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And how do you get in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Is there anything much simpler than that? No. If you seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Get in the presence of the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. Seek him with all of your heart. If you're like, I don't really know what that means, ask God to reveal it to you. And what does the Holy Spirit give you? John 14:25-27 says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I love that scripture. That is the Helper. Come on, somebody. That's powerful. What? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's powerful. Because a lot of what we're talking about, there's fear and wondering if we'll know what to do. And we second guess ourselves all the time. Oh, man. The Holy Spirit, if we lean on him, will not allow that to happen. He'll be there. Isn't that cool? And then it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not the world, not what the world gives. My peace. Peace beyond understanding. Where you can be in the middle of a burning, fiery furnace and be at peace because your Savior is there. That's powerful. Peace beyond understanding. Doesn't even make sense while I'm at ease right now. I should be freaking out right now. But I'm calm. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. When you lean on the Holy Spirit, that's who he is. The Holy Spirit also, it's promised, will bring you power when he comes upon you. Acts 1:8. Amen. And the last thing today, we could talk about a lot of things, but the last thing we're going to talk about today in urgency is identity. Everyone wants an identity. Our world is literally starving for identity. They're starving. Starving for identity. They're starving so much that they're creating identities that have never existed before. Creating identities that never existed before. Why do we have the LGBTQ community right now? Because of an extreme hunger for identity. To try to understand, to try to make something to where I feel like I'm a part of something. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Starving for it. And it's not just the LGBTQ community, it's with all sin. The oldest trick in the book that Satan uses, you are what you do. So your sin is now your identity in the world. That's what Satan does. He takes your sin, your weakness, and he slaps it on you and says, that's who you are. Don't listen to anybody else. In fact, I'll put some people in your life to remind you of that sin. and remind you of that weakness. And if we don't deal with that, that's where our identity lies. That's why we have parents that look at their kids and they can't stare at them because they see themselves looking back and all they can think of is the identity of who they are. And their fear will grip them because they're like, I can't raise this kid because I'm so that person. And they're going to become that. And they run away. Run away. Identity is so important. So important. You've got to know whose you are before you can ever know who you are. You got to know who you belong to. And as we share the gospel, and we teach people about the identity that they can have in Jesus, that I'm no longer in Christ, but it is Christ that lives in me. I am a new creation. The power of that strips away all those labels and all of that identity that sin has put on, that the devil has put on, and it rips all that stuff away. Now we can truly be that light set apart on a hill to shine for him. Identity is so important. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, we said it already, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That scripture alone, if people in this world understood and got a revelation, do you understand? A revelation, like a God revelation of what that is, it would blow all of that stuff up. It couldn't even stand a chance, right? It'd be like the world's strongest weed killer coming in and just eradicating that junk. Like that. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, when we as Christians, when we walk proudly and unapologetically in the identity of Christ, people will be drawn to that. But we cannot be bashful about it. We can't be. And be like, well, I don't want to say something to offend people. They're already offended. Let's give them some truth. Let's create a division and give them a chance to choose. We are so afraid of that sometimes. Well, if I say something, if you're doing it in love, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest your words, how many of you know that that dividing line is a beautiful thing? Because it gives people, for once in their life, a choice to choose life. Will they do it? I don't know. It's up to them. But should they have that choice? Yeah. Did you get that choice? Yeah. Did it change your life? Yeah. Do you want to go back sometimes? Yeah. But do you know that this way is better? Yeah. That's real. And when we walk in the identity of who Christ has made us, it will change things. It will change things. Let's close down today. Just take a moment. Just bow your head. Close your eyes for just a moment. We tackled some tough stuff today. But God is so good. His Holy Spirit is so good. Just join with me in this prayer, Lord. We just pray right now, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that your truth would be planted in us today. If there was anything that I said that was maybe an opinion or wrong, Lord, I just pray that that would all fall by the wayside today. And that your truth, your word would be planted deep inside of us, Father. That the roots would go deep. today. And it would strengthen us. It would ground us into your rivers of living water, God. Just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you today. And if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus today, and you want to know Jesus today, can you just lift up your hand and say, that's me today? Anybody in the room today? I would want to give everybody that chance today. If you're watching online, I might not be able to see your hand, but Jesus can see your hand. Why don't we do this? We're just going to say this prayer. Just repeat this after me. And it's not so much, probably the most important piece is what it means in your heart. You've got to say it from your heart. But when you say this prayer, Jesus will be your Lord and Savior. The power of the gospel is at work right now. Just say this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. I've messed up. Please forgive me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on a cross that was meant for me. And I thank you for the resurrection power that today lives in me, the victory that is mine. And I thank you. My identity is now found in you. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Now, we would never leave here at Liberty Church without a chance for you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive God as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is the helper sent for you and for me. And so if you want the gift of the Holy Spirit today, if there's anybody in the room, you can come on down front. I'd love to pray for you. I know that's bold, and you're like, I have to get out of my seat. I'm like, yeah, you do. All right. Come on down. I would love to pray for you. Right now, if that's you, you can come on down. I would love to pray for you. And if you're like, well, I missed my chance. Sorry, that's not how it works. God's too good for that. So even if you're like, I'm not going to come down front, all you got to do is ask for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's yours. Isn't that good? And the Holy Spirit guides and leads you and helps you accomplish a lot of the stuff we talked about. It's really hard today. It's really hard. But with God, anything is possible. The Holy Spirit working in and through you, all of it is so possible. It's so possible. Amen? Amen. Well, Pastor Jim's going to come up here. He's going to speak and has a quick announcement, or maybe a long one. I don't know, whatever he would like to do. And he's going to speak for just a minute. Give it up for our senior pastor, Pastor Jim.
Well, hello, everyone.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.